Thanks again for joining us here on WEKZ AM 1260 and FM 95.5 for To The Point. Mike Zweifel here. Please be joined at this time as we head to the Leonard C. Ferguson Cancer Center at FHM Memorial Hospital. Please be joined here at this time by Dr. Arshad Sheikh. Dr. Sheikh, thanks for joining us here today.
Thank you for having me this morning.
Well, today we're talking about prostate cancer. As we know, September is National Prostate Cancer Awareness Month. Let's first back up a little bit and just talk about your role with treating patients at the Leonard C. Ferguson Cancer Center at FHM Memorial Hospital.
Well, I serve as the chief of the Medical Oncology and Hematology Division at the Cancer Center, and I've been in this position for the past 12 years. So I've been caring for patients in the region since 2008.
Okay, so you've been doing this for a little over a decade then, doctor, in that department. As mentioned, September, National Prostate Cancer Awareness Month. First of all, what and where is the prostate?
Well, the prostate is essentially a walnut-sized structure that's located between the private part and the bladder in men, and it sits right in front of the rectum, and it's primarily, you know, if the function of it is to provide nutrients for the sperm in males, so it's just essentially positioned for that purpose. And occasionally, and it's actually rather common throughout the life cycle of the prostate, in the vast majority of men, there is an increased risk of developing prostate cancer.
Now, doctor, we've located the prostate, if you will, here. Do we actually know what causes prostate cancer?
There are a lot of theories that are there have been theories as far-fetched as certain viruses that have been implicated, but we don't exactly know the absolute cause of prostate cancer. We have been able to identify that it certainly occurs in patients with certain risk factors. Age is the most highly correlated risk factor with prostate cancer across the board. Amongst all the solid tumors out there, age in prostate cancer is directly proportional to the risk. We do see a higher risk in patients of African-American descent. It is not exactly clear as to why that is the case. There are a lot of theories that are suggestive of why, but we don't have any exact hard data as to why that's the case, but that clearly is demonstrable. Also, there are certain genetic mutations that do run in families, so there is a hereditary component. Similar to patients who do have breast cancer with a mutation of a gene that is known as BRCA, there is a BRCA2 mutation that is also implicated in prostate cancer, and there's some other genes as well. So there is a hereditary component as well. It is also known that patients who do consume a high proportion of saturated fat through animal products, that's also been known to be correlated with increased risk of prostate cancer. And there are some studies that also suggest that patients who smoke high percentage of cigarettes exposure may also increase the risk, although that is not a major risk factor, but there is some association with that as well.
We're talking about prostate cancer today with Dr. Arshad Sheikh at the Leonard C. Ferguson Cancer Center at FHM Memorial Hospital. And Dr., prostate cancer, that's pretty common among men, isn't it?
It's extremely common. If you're talking globally, it's the second most common cancer in men. Certainly not the most common cause of death, but in terms of incidence, it's second most common. In the U.S., essentially one out of six men have a lifetime risk in prostate cancer, increased lifetime risk. And globally, it's about a little over a million, like 1.2 million cases, with nearly 360,000 deaths globally. So it is rather common.
Now, doctor, how is prostate cancer? How's it diagnosed?
Based on guidelines, typically we screen patients with a blood test called PSA. That starts at the age of 50. Patients who do have a family history, or if they're African-American, we start at age 40. So essentially it's a blood test that tips off the primary care provider. If the PSA is elevated within a certain range, that leads to some additional testing that is performed. One of the other tests that's also performed, although it's not the primary cause of diagnosis most of the time, but they use their index finger and do a digital exam through the rectum, trying to feel the prostate through the rectum, because again, the prostate sits right in front of the rectum. So if the prostate is enlarged, you may be able to actually feel it. It would be like a hard rock type contour, may even be tender to touch, but typically it's very hard, like a rock, and appears very irregular. That may also be a tip-off sign that there's something wrong with the prostate. But a lot of times men may not present with any symptoms, actually, but if they do present with symptoms, sometimes it's blood in the urine, pain, but typically it's the blood test or the PSA that trips up the diagnosis and, you know, leads to the workup. And ultimately, the workup would involve inserting a ultrasound probe through the rectum. Again, the prostate sits right in front of the rectum. The probe is inserted into the rectum, and through that that scope, basically ultrasound device, they biopsy the prostate. So that's called a transrectal ultrasound biopsy. And so that's how the diagnosis is actually made.
Doctor, what does a traditional treatment for prostate cancer look like?
This has evolved over the decades. A lot of it really depends on how advanced the prostate cancer is. So, you know, historically, if the prostate cancer is just confined to the prostate itself, and if it's of a certain size, removing the entire prostate or removing part of the prostate was the traditional approach. It can still be performed, typically in patients under the age of 70. And then they would also sample some lymph nodes in the area to make sure the prostate cancer didn't spread. But really, the vast majority of cases, if it's an early stage, we really just go ahead with radiation treatment to the prostate. And that is certainly something that is standard of care as a strong approach. And we do that here at the Ferguson Center. If the prostate cancer is also, if it's very small and not very aggressive and still confined to the prostate, and if the patients are, you know, they have a lot of other medical problems, significant heart, lung disease, or if they're on dialysis, you know, depending on what their life expectancy may be, you know, you can just simply watch these patients. You don't actually have to treat them. Another approach would be if it's very localized, you can insert radioactive seeds into the prostate, which kind of like radiation treatment would treat the prostate cancer definitively as well. If a patient has a more involved prostate cancer where it's actually broken through the capsule of the prostate, but it's still confined in the region of the prostate and some lymph nodes are involved, in that situation, to just do radiation alone would not be the best approach. In those cases, the medical oncologist and the radiation oncologist work hand in hand, and I would administer certain medications chemically to basically castrate the patient by dropping the testosterone level, and that would be done before radiation is started, and we would do that alongside radiation treatment. And once radiation treatment is completed, I would typically continue that castration chemical treatment. It's basically shots patients would get on a monthly basis or every 3 month basis, and that would continue for a total of 2 years or so. If somebody has incurable prostate cancer, you know, for example, prostate cancer that has spread to the bones, you can't cure these patients. Believe it or not, the vast majority of patients live for many years and they can do quite well. There's a whole range of treatments that are available, from certain tablet-based treatments, as well as chemotherapy. There is also, you know, a vaccine that's been FDA approved many years ago, though it's not used very much. So it's a very exciting time in terms of stage 4 prostate cancer, metastatic disease. We do have a lot of options that have come through over the years. We even have a blood test that's come out not too long ago where we test the tumor itself on the biopsy to see if patients actually qualify and would do better with chemo or no chemo. And we're actually able to identify that now. So we did not have that 2 years ago. So it's really exciting time to be in terms of prostate cancer treatment.
Doctor, you touched on this just a little bit, but prognosis for someone diagnosed with prostate cancer, pretty good though?
Across the board, it's excellent. If you have patients with early stage disease, like stage 1 or stage 2, the statistics illustrate about 80 to 85%. I would harbor that it would be even higher than that in some cases. Stage 3 patients, roughly around, you know, high 50s, 60%, and stage 4 patients, they quoted at about 6 to 10%, but it may be actually higher on a case-by-case consideration. And we have seen patients who've gone quite a while with stage 4 disease. But again, this is a 15-year survival rate, so that's about accurate, you know, about 6 to 8% of stage 4. But people have done quite well. I mean, we'll have these anecdotal reports where patients are very much symptom-free, leading robust, productive lives, holding a job with stage 4 disease. And it's really turned into, for a lot of patients, like a chronic illness like diabetes or being on dialysis for that matter.
is there any time maybe when prostate cancer actually shouldn't be treated at all?
Absolutely. And it's really like it has to do with both ends of the spectrum here. If somebody is diagnosed with very early stage prostate cancer, it's just confined to the prostate. And if it's a very minuscule amount of prostate cancer and it doesn't appear to be very aggressive, you can simply just watch these patients. It's very interesting. Sometimes over a period of time, the patients can be reevaluated by the urologist, and those prostate cancer cells may actually disappear or resolve on their own. With the immune system just essentially taking care of them. Or it may just gradually grow, or it may just stay the same. Nothing may really change. So those patients can be watched, and that's actually the preferred approach in patients who are very early confined to the prostate in very small amount, non-aggressive form of prostate cancer. You can watch these patients. And a lot of it, age also has to play a role in that too. So if the patient is, you know, up there in their age, you know, over the age of 75, 80, you can elect to just watch those patients if it's very early stage. And of course, patient preference always goes into that. I mean, we see a lot of patients where, you know, we may elect to say, hey, you know, perhaps you should consider radiation treatment, and they're completely symptom-free, but they may elect to not want to do it for justifiable reasons. You know, they don't want to be exposed to any side effects of any treatments, and that's also not entirely unreasonable. And then on the other end of the spectrum, if you have a patient with stage 4 disease, a lot of it really depends on the risks versus the benefits of the treatments that are being recommended. And, you know, depending on how frail the patient is, what are the other medical conditions that they have? There's certain patients that you certainly can't consider giving chemotherapy based on their other, you know, medical problems and how functional they are. But to be honest, with stage 4 disease, even if you don't give chemotherapy, there are a lot of tablet-based treatments that even if a patient is considered to be somewhat frail but still reasonably functional, you could still get it, and they may derive some substantial benefit from it. But most of the discussions when it relates to patients as to whether the prostate cancer should be treated or not in the general community really has to do with the early stage prostate cancers.
Doctor, whenever we're talking about prostate cancer again today, but anytime we talk about cancer, the C word that doesn't like to get flown around there, you guys at FHN, oh, you're very proud of this, have a 3-day cancer appointment guarantee. Tell us a little bit more about this.
We absolutely are very proud of this, and we've had this for quite some time. It is imperative to get answers as soon as you have a diagnosis of cancer. And, you know, the anxiety that comes along with it can seem insurmountable. And so to be able to provide direction and have a treatment plan for a patient as soon as they get their diagnosis within 3 days is something that cannot be really, you know, quantified. It's something that is absolutely invaluable. And I don't know of any other health system that offers this. So I think for, you know, just in terms of the human aspect of treating cancer, being able to connect with patients and being able to give them the guidance that they need right from the outset, rather than having to wait a week to 2 weeks or 3 weeks. And also sometimes waiting that long, not only can the cancer progress, but two, sometimes they may end up going in the wrong path initially in the treatment of their cancer by going to a different provider who may actually proceed with an approach that may have been incorrect. For example, having surgery up front for a particular type of tumor when in fact they were not supposed to have surgery. They were supposed to have some other treatments. And a lot of times, unfortunately, in a lot of health systems, this does happen. So being able to provide that 3-day guarantee and having patients come here first and foremost to see the medical oncologist so that the treatment and the plan can be tailored right from the outset, absolutely essential. And really, it should be the standard of care.
Doctor, always a lot of great information. Thanks for joining us the program. If folks want to find out more about the 3-day guarantee, more about prostate cancer in general, best way they can do so?
They can just go simply to the website at fhn.org.
Doctor, thanks so much for coming aboard here today, filling us in with some great information. Thanks for taking the time. We'll do this again soon.
My pleasure. Always a pleasure. Thank you.
He's Dr. Arshad Sheikh at the Leonard C. Ferguson Cancer Center at FHM Memorial Hospital talking about prostate cancer. Remember, September is National Prostate Cancer Awareness Month. And joining us here on To the Point.